The scripture lesson. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Beginning at verse number 21, I think it is. Verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of an angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him all that the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Then I want to skip down to verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, in the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayer night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had perform all things according to the law of the Lord, they return into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Amen. They presented him to the Lord. That's the subject. They presented him to the Lord. Joseph and Mary are engaged to be married. Mary gets pregnant by the Holy Spirit and is about to deliver Jesus. And at this point, baby Jesus has been born. You know the story about how Jesus was born in a stable. There was no room in the inn. And Jesus is now 8 days old. In fact, he doesn't even have a name yet, other than the name that the angel told Mary to name him. And so he's about to be circumcised. Background of this suggests that Jewish boys were to be circumcised on the 8th day. And the mother of Jewish boys was not to go out of the house until 40 days. And girls, when they were born, the mother was not to go out before 80 days. And Jesus has been born, and Mary and Joseph takes Jesus to Jerusalem, to the temple, to present him to God. And that's where we get the tradition in our own church in terms of christening or dedicating babies. We bring them to be presented to God. We don't baptize babies in the Baptist church. We christen them or we dedicate them. We bring them back to God, to the church. Amen? So here is young Mary and her young husband, Joseph, bringing baby Jesus to the temple to present him to God. And after he is circumcised, after the circumcision, the child is named. And usually the child is named after the father. But in this particular case, the angel had already told Mary what the child would be named, and his name was to be Jesus. And how many of you know that Jesus had more than one name? Oh, you Bible scholars, you know that, right? How many of you got more than one name? You got the name your mama gave you, and then you got the ones that your friends gave you. You got nicknames. Jesus' name was Jesus. That's the name that the angels told Mary to name him. But his name also was what? Emmanuel. His name also was what? Lamb of God. His name back in Isaiah was what? Wonderful Counselor. Prince of Peace. King of Kings. Jesus had many names. And you and I also have many names. My name is Greg. I can't tell you what some of my nicknames are, because then I'd have to kill you. But we got names. We got names. We got names that our mom, and I asked my mom some years ago, you know, where did you get the name Gregory from? Why'd you name Greg? She says, well, I named you that name because, you know, I didn't want you to have a nickname. I wanted everybody to call you Gregory. I don't know how she figured that out. And to this day, my mom never has called me anything but Gregory. Unless she's mad at me. If she's mad at me, she called me Richard, Bobby, whoever. You know, those are my cousins, whatnot. Then she says, you know who I'm talking to. Well, as a rule, she calls me Gregory. And all of us have some nicknames that people call us, but we also have a name that God calls us. And we are not just Gregory, but we are also servant. You know, in this day and age when everybody wants to be doctor this and doctor that and reverend this and whatever, what about, and deacon this and what about just servant? What about son or daughter of God? What about redeemed? What about changed? What about prayer warrior? What about lover of my soul? We all have names. And so we come and we dedicate our babies and our sons and our daughters, and we bring our sons and our daughters to the temple. We bring them to the church, and we come, first of all, in a spirit of thanksgiving. This is Mother's Day. Everybody, every mother, usually it's the mothers who bring the sons and daughters to the church, and I'm sure the first thing they're saying is, thank you for my child. Thank you that my child is healthy. Thank you for this life that came through me but came from God. And Lord, I can't raise this boy by myself. I can't raise this girl by myself. I need some help to raise this boy. We're living in a mean and unfriendly world, and we need somebody praying for us. And if Mary and Joseph had to bring Jesus to the temple, you know that we need to bring our kids to the church to be blessed. And so Mary and Joseph brings little Jesus, 8 days old, maybe 40 days old, to the temple. And this text also says something about Jesus' background. You remember Jesus was related to Elizabeth and to Zacharias. and that Zacharias was a priest. And you know, if you were a priest back in those days, you were part of the rich and the aristocratic society. So John the Baptist's parents were rich folk. They were priests, and then Elizabeth's father was a priest. So they were part, look at somebody say, they were part of the 1%. They had money. And so whenever the rich folk brought their sons and daughters to the temple to be dedicated, they would bring a lamb to be slain, a lamb without blemish. But poor folk didn't have the money to bring a lamb, so they would bring what? Pigeons and turtle doves. Which crowd would you have been in? Most of us would have been in the turtle dove and pigeon crowd. We would have had money for no lamb. So that says that Jesus and his family came from poor folk. Do I have a witness? Mary and Joseph were not rich. They were just poor folk. But they brought their son to the temple. You know, it's amazing today in this generation that we live in that people think because you're poor that you got no values. People think just because you're poor that you act crazy. Some of the craziest folk I ever known were people with money. Because they think that they can do anything. Look at the owner of that team out there. Think he can say anything he wants. It's amazing to me how you can be sleeping with a black woman and can't stand black people. I just thought I'd throw that in. But just because you got no money doesn't mean that you got no value. Doesn't mean that you don't know right from wrong. Doesn't mean that you don't love the Lord. Doesn't mean that the Lord has not smiled on you. You don't have to be rich, but the Lord still loves you. The Lord still makes a way. The Lord still put food on your table. The Lord still causes the sun to shine upon you. You don't have money, but you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So Mary, Joseph brings little baby Jesus to the temple, and they present him to God. It's a terrible thing. I feel sorry for children that never hears a word of affirmation. I feel sorry for children who never hear you're beautiful. I feel sorry for children who never hear that you're handsome. I feel sorry for children who never hear that you're smart, that you're intelligent, that you can do anything that you want to do in your life. I feel sorry for children whose parents never bring them to be presented back to the Lord. But it's not enough just to present them to the Lord. You've got to also raise them in the admonition of the Lord. I mean, we get a lot of people who bring their babies to church because they know that mama says bring the baby to church, and you were brought to church when you were a little kid. They bring the baby and they never come back. Not even on Mother's Day. Something wrong with that. But thanks be to God, when you have a mother or a father who will bring you to church to say, God gave you to me. That you are precious in my sight. Thanks be to God for the parents to say, God don't make no junk. Thanks be to God for that single mother to say, yeah, I'm bringing my child. The father's not in his life, but I know this child needs God in his or her life. So I'm presenting this child back to God. He or she is a gift from the Most High God. There are people who try to scandalize your name in some kind of way, make the child not worth something because he or she don't know their father. They ain't got nothing to do with that. But you are precious in his sight. So when you bring that mother, brings that child to the church of God, to present him back. You know, You know, there's some kids, I was reading this article somewhere. This rabbi asked this group of kids at a camp, summer camp somewhere, when's the last time you had somebody to tell you you're beautiful? Kids said, well, my mama told me I'm the ugliest thing in the world. One little Jewish boy says, my mama told me if she'd known she was in the Holocaust, she had known that I was going to be born, she wouldn't have fought so hard to get out of the Holocaust. How terrible a thing to say to a young child. How terrible a thing to say to a young child developing. And then, you know, the thing about it is, the woman who told the child that she was the ugliest thing in the world, the child probably looked just like her. But she had a terrible self-esteem in her own life. She felt ugly. She felt miserable. And she's handing it down to the next generation and the next generation. But thanks be to God that somehow people make their way into church. And God has got somebody in his house to give you an affirmation. Hear this text. Mary and Joseph brings little Jesus to the church, and the text says there's an old man by the name of Simeon. Simeon been hanging out in church all his life, waiting for the Messiah to come. He only had one job in his life. He was a Messiah watcher. Everybody came, he kind of check you out. You come in. Could that be the one? I guess probably people looking at him strange. What are you looking at me like that for? But he was expecting the Messiah to be an old man, to be a warrior that would ride in a horse. But on this particular day, young Mary and Joseph brought this little baby into the temple. And he said, let me see that boy. And he said, this is the one that I've been waiting for. This is the Messiah. Now I can die. Because the Lord has allowed me to see the Messiah. Isn't it a wonderful thing when you bring your little Johnny in church and there's a Simeon in the house? There's somebody to affirm your little Johnny and say, hey, that boy is going to be something one day. That boy is going to be a doctor, a lawyer, a preacher. That boy is going to be a good father. That boy is going to be a good deacon. That boy is going to be a child of the king. That boy is going to recognize that he's a gift from God. You and I need a Simeon in our lives. Because sometimes, you know, kids get of the age where they don't listen to their parents. Even in this text, you read on down, Jesus got a little spunky with his mother. You remember that? Jesus had they just took him to the temple, presented to him, then he got to be 12 years old. I don't know why it is when it's 12 years old. Abraham brought his son about 12 years old to present him. I read somewhere, you know, that if he had waited till he was 15, he would have left Isaac there and allowed him to be killed. But 12 years old, Jesus, y'all don't even, I read that. I'm not suggesting it. But 12 years old, Jesus. Mary said, well, you know, we were looking for you, Jesus, and we went back to your kinfolk looking for you, and 3 days we were looking for you. And then Jesus got smart with his mother. Forgive me, Lord, that's just the way it's coming across to me. He says, didn't you know I was about my father's business? My mom would have. Anybody know that backhand lick? That smart aleck lick? The Bible didn't say that now. I'm just. But in this house, Mary and Joseph bring little Jesus, and Ananias is there, and Ananias affirms him. And you and I. That's
It's our job to affirm somebody, because sometimes your kids won't listen to you, but they'll listen to Deacon Robinson. They'll listen to Mrs. Gibson. They'll listen to my mother and Mrs. Coleman and Mrs. whoever and Mr. whoever. They'll listen, and you and I have got to be there to affirm them.
Then not only was Simeon in the house, later on you read in that text, there was a woman in the house by the name of who? Anna. Anna stayed in church. She prayed. She fasted. The text suggests that Simeon came to church every day, but he went home. That's what the text suggests. But Anna stayed there. She was there 24/7. She was an old lady. Text does not say that she had any kids. She had been married. Her husband died. And you know, there are women like that. They don't have any kids, but they're everybody's mother. Come here, honey. And they pull you in their bosom and almost suffocate you. How are you, baby? How?
Yes, Mrs. Smith, yes, that's...
Can you just turn me loose so I can breathe? Anna was that kind of woman. She stayed in church. And when she saw Jesus, she affirmed him. She loved him. She nurtured him. And every church needs an Anna. And every church needs a Simeon. Somebody that can stand from the outside and give you love and affirmation on any Sunday. Any Sunday is Mother's Day. Anna didn't wait for Mother's Day. Every Sunday was Mother's Day.
She affirmed. And then the text says, when Jesus got 12 years old, they took him to Jerusalem for his first bat mitzvah. And Jesus was an unusual kid. And Mary and Joseph, they're walking back to their 80-mile journey from Jerusalem to Nazareth, about 80 miles. Deacon Burns said he used to walk to school 7 miles. That's what he said this morning. He said his mom used to give him a little paper bag with biscuits and bacon. He said bacon publicly, but he told some of the deacons afterwards it was fatback. Y'all ever had any fat back?
Yes.
That stuff will kill you. And then Deacon Burns said, I'm not saying Deacon Burns didn't tell the truth, but it's amazing to me how a little boy can walk 7 miles to school, have biscuits and bacon, and all he eat is a biscuit. I would have eaten the whole thing. The first, not even that, the first mile it would have been gone. But Mary and Joseph, they're on their way back from Jerusalem down to Nazareth. It's 80 miles and Jesus is lost. And for the first day they can't find him, they go to the kinfolk's house. And I wondered in my mind, if Jesus was going to his kinfolk, he would hang around his kinfolk, who would he have gone to? Would it have been old Uncle Skeeter? You do know that sometimes holy kids go to devilish kinfolk. Who would Jesus have gone to? If it had been me, I probably would have gone to my Uncle Bud. My Uncle Bud, who was a drinker, but Lord, could he tell jokes? I mean, he'd have us rolling on the floor. If it had been me, I wouldn't have gone to church. I would have gone to Uncle Bud or somebody, some other of them uncles I'm not going to talk about.
But Jesus, he wasn't with the kinfolk. He was so anointed. He decided to hang out with the old folk. Yeah, anybody in here, when I was a boy, Mrs. Gibson, they used to tell me I was old when I was 16 because I loved hanging around Reverend Gibson. I loved hanging around the old folk. I
love, hey, I was superintendent of Sunday school, I think, when I was 18 or 19. An old guy at 19.
Jesus decided he was going to hang around in the temple with the priests, with the learned scholars, asking them questions, drinking in their knowledge, learning their wisdom. How sad it is that we live in a generation where our young people can only drink from the cup of somebody that's their same age. What in the world can a 19-year-old or 18-year-old, how much wisdom can they have? What about somebody that's in their 80s and 90s who's been up the rough side of the mountain that'll drink from that cup of wisdom and knowledge? Hang around some old folks sometime. Smell that Bengay. Smell that liniment. Because that's where you are going, and you and I need to learn how to take it as we age. That's something that we can receive from old folk that you can't get from a little 19. Here it was. I'm through. Jesus, 12 years old. He's lost from his parents. You know, there's a whole lot of kids lost from their parents. Sad part is, at least Mary and Joseph went back looking for Jesus. Some of these kids are so bad, parents are glad they lose them. I ain't looking for that joker. How sad. How sad. And when they found him, he was in the Father's house. He was drinking from a cup never runs dry. When they found him, he was, text doesn't say this, but this is Jackson now. You know, you can tell when somebody is interested when they're leaning forward. It's sort of like, I'm looking at y'all now. Ain't nobody leaning forward. Oh, Deacon Hodge is leaning forward. Let me just look at him for a minute. He was drinking, but you know, when somebody is sitting back and they have a sleep, they ain't really listening to what you got to say. But I believe Jesus was engaged in every word that the elders said. He was drinking it in, and he was developing who he was going to be. The text says he grew. He grew. Look at somebody say, he grew. You can't grow in Christ with a little dab of do your Sunday school class. You got to be consistent. You got to be hungry. You got to be thirsty. You got to persevere. You got to ask questions. You got to be engaged. You got to study if you're going to grow in the Lord. Because sooner or later, trouble is coming. And life can get you and I in such a position that we can't think. And you need some Simeon or Anna to pray for you in the dark seasons. Do I have a witness in the house? They presented him to the Lord. Sometimes our parents are not in the Lord. You know, sometimes we act like all of our parents were saints when they became our parents. That ain't so. But if you made it into church today, even though you don't have a parent maybe that will present you for the Lord to God rather, you have a Savior who can present you to the Father. Just as you are. You don't have to be perfect. You can mess up big time. But if you'll give your heart to Jesus Christ, he can take you and present you to the Father in heaven. Do I have a witness in the house?
will not see your sin. He'll see Christ's righteousness. That's why I love him so. He looked beyond my fault and he saw my need. And he presented Greg Jackson.
And Jesus said, I died for that scoundrel.
Jesus said, I love him so much that I died for him.
And Father, I present him to you. Faultless. Look at somebody and say, faultless. I present him to you, Father. Look beyond his faults and I've seen his needs. I present him to you just as he is. I present him to you. Mold him, wash him, shape him, develop him. I present him. Clean up his mind. Clean up his attitude. Clean up his behavior. I present him to you. Work with him, God. Make him into your disciple. Take him up the rough side of the mountain sometime. Take him down in the valley sometime. Put him on the mountain sometime. It takes it all to develop him. Thanks be to God that I had a mom who presented me the little hard-headed boy I was. And so have you. And if your mom or your dad didn't, you're here today and I present you to Jesus. I can't get a prayer through without going through Jesus myself. But I present you to him. Who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Doors of the church.